Okay, so it's Parshas Tazria Metzora today. We are going to just first share a short idea about something else about the month of Iyar, which we're just starting today. Today's Rosh Chodesh, when this is being recorded, and then we're going to go on to the Parsha and share something. So Iyar is the second month. We know that we start to count the months from Nisan. Iyar is the second month. And there's a discussion in Halacha about how you spell the month of Iyar. Is it Aleph Yud Resh, which could make the word Iyar, or is it two Yuds? And one and Lemaisa, in actual fact, what we do is when we write a ksuba, we write any document which involves the Jewish month, we actually spell it with two Yuds, Aleph Yud Yud Resh. One of the reasons for that is because it's brought down in Svarim that Iyar is a Rosh Tevis. Iyar is an acronym for Ani Hashem Roifecha. Pasuk says after Yidmar Yisrael says, "I am Hashem your doctor. I am Hashem your healer." And what does that mean? So it could mean two things. It could mean physical healing and spiritual healing. But the Mefarshim point out that there's tight, this, the Rogatchover going points us out that even in physical healing that is done by doctors and so on, there can be two reasons, there can be two ways this can happen. It can happen in a way where a person has a sickness, a person has a healing, a person has a disease, goes to a doctor, the doctor gives him medicine, or doctor does whatever they need to do, tells him a strategy, and then he heals. In other words, he was sick, and then he heals, becomes better. Right. Another way of doing that, another way this can happen is that a person can be unwell or think he's unwell, go to a doctor. The doctor can examine or change his diet, or whatever the case is, and really kind of reveal, clarify, not reveal, but clarify that actually there was really no disease there to begin with. Right. And that the person was really well all along. Now, of course, if a person has a disease, a physical doctor, a person of flesh and blood, a person who's under the laws of nature cannot remove the disease and make it as if it never happened. But Hashem could do that. And Hashem, so the Mefarshim explained that when we have Iyar is Ani Hashem Reifecha, Ani Hashem your healer, the healing of Hashem happens in such a way where it is really in a way where it's never, it means it became, a person becomes well to the point. Whereas if the person was never diseased, was never unwell. And this is particularly true in Refuas HaNefesh, the healing of the soul. The month of Iyar is a month that we look for Refuah for a reason that we're going to talk about in a moment. But the healing is a dramatic, miraculous healing to take away, to remove any weakness, any spiritual weakness that is. Makes it as if it never happened. Let me break this down a little bit. So we know that in the cycle of the months, Iyar is the second month, Nisan is the first. Nisan is the month of miracles. Nisan is the month of Nisim. That's why it's called Nisan. And in fact, it's got two nuns. Two nuns, the Gemara says, it means Nisei Nisim. It's like unbelievable miracles. It completely transcends the whole concept of nature. Iyar is a month where we leave the month of miracles and we go into normal living. That's what Iyar is. In the Northern Hemisphere, it's actually the summer. And the Mefarshim say that's one of the reasons that there's a minhag to say Pirkei Avos between Pesach and Shavuos, because it's becoming hot. And when it warms up and it becomes summer, it says in Svarim that the Yetzer Hara is empowered, the Yetzer Hara is ignited, and therefore it's spiritually dangerous. And therefore we say Pirkei Avos to give ourselves like Musar, ethics, and to kind of give us spiritual protection. Now, the way it works in each month, in an interesting way, right? The way it works in each month, this is the point that I want to sort of bring out. The way it works in each month is that there's always a Shabbos Mevorachim, which gives bracha to that month. But by definition, the Shabbos Mevorachim is always in the previous month. And the same is true with Iyar. When is the Shabbos Mevorachim of Iyar? In Nisan. What does this mean? It means like this. Iyar is a month where we look for refuah, we look for healing, spiritual healing, because we've left the miracles, we've left the month of Nisan. We're more in normal living. There's no special yontif during the month of Iyar. It's just normal living, warming up in the northern hemisphere, spiritually vulnerable and dangerous sometimes. And yeah, it's a time for refuah. But Hashem says like this, Ani Hashem Reifecha. The refuah comes from me. The Shabbos Mevarchim, the Shabbos that gives blessing to the month of Iyar, is in Nisan. It's Nisan as the energy of Nisim, of miraculous nature, miraculous energy coming from really a very, very high place, a very, very transcendent place. And therefore, when we take the power of Nisan and to bring it into Iyar, the healing, the spiritual healing that we get in Iyar is not just, it's not just to take away disease, but it's to heal us in a way that it's as if we were never weak, we were never sick to begin with, taking the bringing the transcendent, the miraculous power of Nisan into the normal, natural living of the month of Iyar. That's just a concept of the month of Iyar. It's based on a sikha, on a talk of the Lubavitcher. Okay. Now I want to share with you something on the Parsha. With the Dal Parsha this week, Tazria Metzora. And I want to share with you a thing I saw in a sefer called Sorei Alofim, written by a Rav that's around today in America. Someone's name is one of the Tversky rabbis. He writes sometimes very beautiful ideas, and this is a particular beautiful one, and I wanted to share it with you. And it combines different parts of the Parsha. And like this, we know that at the beginning, so let's start. At the beginning of the Parsha, it talks about the laws of childbirth and the impurity that a woman goes through when she gives birth to a child, and the purification process when she goes to mikveh, a boy, a girl, and so on and so forth. On this beginning of the parsha, on the birth of a child, there's, in other words, it's dealing to do with the birth of a human being. There's a very fascinating medrash. The medrash says that there's a pasuk in Tehillim which says, "Ochar v'kedem tzartoni." You have set me, you have created me, you have formed me, Adonai Melech says, from behind and before. What does that mean? Says the medrash. It depends how a person behaves. If a person behaves properly, Im zochot, says the Medrash, a person has the schus, so he gets told, Ato kodamta l'chomaisa bereshis. You actually came the beginning. You were the first in the creation. Kedem, in other words, you were before anything else, you came. You are the highest. You are great. However, im lav, if a person doesn't behave themselves properly and behaves inappropriately and sinks into the depths of impurity and spiritual damage, then Oimrim Loi, says the Medrash, they tell him, Yitush Kodmach, you know, you're so low that even a tiny insect, a gnat, a bat, I don't know exactly what a Yitush is, one of the insects, came before you because everything was created before you. Even a little insect was created before you. So who do you think you are? So obviously, there's quite a question here. Two questions. First of all, what does it mean? So what does it mean that the Pasuk tells us we were created both? We were created before and after. What does that mean? And secondly, what does that mean if we have the schus that we are told that we were created before everything else? We weren't. We lemaisa, that's actually the reality is that we were actually created last. So what do you mean if we have a schus that we are told that we're created first? We weren't created first, we were created taka last. And there are reasons for that, good reasons, but in terms of this medrash, it seems problematic. Now, number one. Number two, another part of the parsha, which talks about saras, leprosy, for talking lashon hara and so on, and the Torah talks about saras using the word nega, which means a plague, and in the second part of this week's parsha, which is the second parsha Metzora, it talks about how you purify, how you become tohar from the plague. So this word nega, we have a very interesting phrase in Sefer Yetzirah. Sefer Yetzirah is a famous Kabbalistic sefer written very, very, very early on. And it talks about the creation of the world and the formations and the formulas and the letters and so on. And over there it says like this. It says, Ein betoivo lemailo mi oineg. There's nothing higher in goodness than oineg, pleasure. The ein bara, and there's nothing in the bad sense, lemata mi nega. There's nothing lower than a nega and nothing higher than oineg. Interesting. Nega and oineg are the same letters, just changed around. So nega is nun gimel ayin, and this is ayin, oineg, ayin nun gimel. Okay. So we need to understand what it's trying to tell us. What do you mean there's nothing higher than oineg? Nothing higher than pleasure. What does that mean? Nothing lower than nega. What's the pshat? What's the Sefer Yetzirah trying to tell us? So we've got a question both in the part of the parasha to do with the birth of the human being, and both in the laws of Tzaras about the idea of nega, where we say nega and oineg are connected. There's nothing higher than oineg. There's nothing lower than nega. Okay. So he goes on a journey that goes like this. He says, in Parsha Shmois, we learn that when Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to go to Paro and to take out the Jewish people, Moshe Rabbeinu said to Hashem, he had a whole argument with Hashem back and forth, so to speak, at the burning bush. Moshe Rabbeinu said, I'm going to take the Jews out of Mitzrayim. Now, what does that question mean? Rashi says, the Moshe Rabbeinu asked Hashem, what's chus? What's chus do they have? I can take them out of Mitzrayim. What schus do they have that the miracle should happen for them and I should take them out of Mitzrayim? So Hashem answers, says the Medrash. Hashem answers, Bo'itziach ha'so'omazeh. Rashi brings this down. Bo'itziach ha'so'omazeh. Tavdun ha'salakim al-ha'orazeh. That when you take out this nation from Mitzrayim, they're going to serve me on this mountain. Rashi says that this is an answer to the question you asked, what schus do Jewish people have that they're going to go out of Mitzrayim? They have a very big thing. Because they are going to, when they come out, they are going to serve me on this mountain. They're going to receive the Torah 3 months, less than 3 months even, after they come out of Mitzrayim. In other words, the simple pshat is that Hashem had rachmanis in us, and even though we taka didn't have any schus coming out of Mitzrayim, because Hashem saw the potential that we were going to receive the Torah, even though we had no schus at that moment. He gave us credit and he gave us Tukas al-Mitzrayim so that we should come and receive the Torah. But he says over here, there might be a very deep idea behind this. And that is like this. Moshe Rabbeinu asks Hashem, how can you take out, like the Yidden can look at themselves and say, we can't go out of Mitzrayim. It's impossible. Look how bad we are. Look at how many avaris we did. Look how much Avodah Zorah we served over the last 200 years, 80 years, 100 years, whatever the case is. We're just sunken in the depths of impurity. And we're giving up hope. Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, tell the Yidden that's not how it works. You can never grow that way. Tell the Yidden that you never look at how you are now or how you were until now. Don't look at the past. Because then, of course, you're going to remain in your despair, in your yish. What you have to do is you always have to look at what can I do? Hashem wants to take me out of Mitzrayim. I can go out, I can do something, I can receive the Torah. You've got to look to the future. This is such an important foundation in how we grow. Because every time we think about doing something good, we think to ourselves, but look how stuck I am now. Look what I've done till now. Look how many times I failed. But if you look future, if you look to the future, then you see that there's so much potential. Forget about what happened in the past. Just move forward. Look forward. Focus on what you can do now, what you can do tomorrow. So Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, this is what you're going to tell the Yidden, and tell them this is how they have to behave all the generations. They have to be mechazik themselves. They have to strengthen themselves, never to look backwards, never to look to the past, never to get stuck in the past, but to always look forward. What can I do tomorrow? Tomorrow is a clean opportunity. It's a clean slate. What can I do tomorrow? Which he says will explain a beautiful idea, because what happens is, Moshe Rabbeinu said, when I come to the Yidden, they're going to ask me, Mashmoy, what's his name? Hashem's name. He says, you know what the pshat is? When I give this message to the Yidden, this powerful idea, this new concept, don't look behind, don't look past, look forward, they're going to ask me, what's the name of this journey? What's the name of the one that gave you such a powerful idea? That never to get stuck in the past, but to always look forward. And what did Hashem say? Eye asher eye. I will be who I will be. That's a name of Hashem. Eye. But what does the name mean? I will be. Future. I will be who I will be. Tell them this is the koyach. This is the power. The power is to look forward and not to look back. Now, the truth is that Hashem shows the way. It says in Chazal, and Rashi brings down the beginning of Chumash, why did Hashem create the world? In fact, we know that the Malachim told him not to create the world. Not to create the human being, at least. But we know world was created. Bishvil Yisrael, Shenikra Reshis, Rashi says, for the Yid. Bereshis, for two things that are called Reshis, the Torah and the Jew. Meaning, Hashem's initial thought in creating the world was for the purpose of the Yidden to do mitzvahs, to learn Torah, and to make a dwelling place for Hashem. In other words, what did Hashem do? Hashem created the whole world based on a look into the future. He's going to create it's for the Yid. The Yid is going to create. It's going to create a yid, and that yid is going to do Torah and mitzvahs, and it's going to make the world a better place. So in other words, there's the physical creation of the human being, which was at the end of creation. And actually, there was the concept of the human being, which was created before the creation. It was all about what was going to happen in the future. Now we can go back to the Medrash. The Medrash says, if a person has a schus, the schus is that he always strengthens himself. He always grows. Why does he always grow? Because he looks into the future. He does not look into the past. So we say to that yid, you know, you're following what Hashem did. You are right, because you also were created because of a future look. You were created because Hashem looked into the future and he wanted the yid to do Torah and mitzvahs. And in that regard, you preceded the entire creation. You're the purpose of creation. Hashem created the whole world because he thought about you first. He thought about you in the future. But if a person doesn't have a schus, meaning what he does is he always just looks at the past, and he just gets stuck in the past, and he says, I failed yesterday. I had so many avarice in the past. How can I go forward? We say, you know, obviously that's how you're looking at it. Why are you looking at that? Because you were created last. And that's why you're doing that. But you're forgetting that you weren't really created last. You were actually created first in Hashem's machshava, in Hashem's thought, so to speak. But if you don't have the schus to look at it like that, then Taka, you're looking at a person who was created at the end. Even the insect was created before you. That's what the Medrash means. Ochor v'kedem sartoni. Hashem formed us behind and before. It all depends how we look at it. It depends what our look is, what our perspective is. And what we need to do is to understand the perspective of growth and always look forward, not to look back. And then we remind ourselves that actually that's the way we were created. We were created as the foundation of creation, because in the future we would receive the Torah and do the right thing. That's what Hashem means when he tells Moshe Rabbeinu, you want to know what schus they didn't have to go out of Mitzrayim? Because they are looking forward. If you tell them to look forward, forget about what they did in the past, but look forward, because in 7 weeks they're going to receive the Torah. That's the biggest schus, and that's the biggest way of growing. Now we come back to what it says in the Sefer Yetzirah about Oineg and Nega. This is an amazing idea. Nega is Nun Gimel Ayin. Nun and Gimel is the person. Nun Gimel is the person. Neshama and Guf. Person is a combination of soul and body. So Nun and Gimel refers to the person, the Neshama and the Guf. Ayin. Ayin means the eye. Ayin refers to how you look at things. Says the Sefer Yetzirah, there's nothing worse than Nega. Nega means you have the person and Ayin is at the end. Meaning, where's the Ayin looking? Backwards. He's looking at the past. He's looking at the Nun and the Gimel. He's saying, oh, there's so many terrible things. There's despair. There's despondency. Says the Medrash. Says the Sefer. Says nothing worse than that. But there's nothing higher than Oineg. Oineg, the Ayin is at the beginning of the word. And it's looking future. It's looking forward. It's looking to the Nun and the Gimel. Ein lemaylem, there's nothing better than Oineg. Nothing better when you look forward and you see the potential, what you could do. And that creates an oineg, a pleasure, where there's nothing higher than that idea. So this is the theme. Theme is not looking past, but looking forward, as expressed in the different parts of the parsha. There won't be a Zoom next week. I'll be away, but I am going to post on the podcast a parsha video. Emet Hashem. All the best. Have a good day, and ultimately a good shabbat.